you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Luke 2, 25 through 35. After you turn to it, please stand and let's read it responsively. I'll read one verse and ask the congregation to read the following verse. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign spoken against. Let's read the last verse together. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Please be seated. May God bless the reading of his word. I could turn the time over to Reverend Wilson Chang for this morning's message.
I would like to tell you a story this morning. Long time ago, there was a famous rabbi. And this rabbi was so famous that a lot of people, young people, were drawn to be his student. And this rabbi was so famous about his piety and his knowledge, his wealth of knowledge about the scripture, and also when he shared the scripture, he shared with tremendous insight. So he drawn a lot of students came to study under him. Now there was one day when this old rabbi was studying at his desk. And then there was a young man came in. And the young man saw the rabbi. And the young man's heart was filled with love and excitement. Such a precious opportunity to study under such a master. So this young man looked at the rabbi and said, My dear master, I love you so much. I'm so respectful to you. I adore you. And this old rabbi was studying, in mountains of books. And he lifted up his head and looked at this young man. And he said to the young man, My dear young man, let me ask you a question. Do you know what and whom hurt me most? Do you know what and whom hurt me most? And this young man was so puzzled. He thought about that and he couldn't answer the question. So he said to the old master, My dear rabbi, I came to say that I love you. It's out of the excitement. And I want to express my love toward you, my respect toward you. And how come you ask me a question not only is not related to what I said to you, but I didn't understand. How do I know who and what would hurt you? This rabbi looked into the young man's eyes and said, My dear young man, it is not unrelated, and it's actually is a very important question. If you do not know what and whom hurt me the most, how could you love me in a real way? Now, brothers and sisters, this is a story. But the story carries certain truth. It tells us true love, sometimes expressed in a situation that might be opposite to that love. And a lot of time, real love revealed itself more powerfully and clearly in a painful and suffering situation. And this is exactly what chapter 2 of Luke is talking about. Now, if you would like, turn to your Bible with me. Not only we will draw from the scripture that we read today, but we will actually start from verse 8. Let me read it to you. Verse 8 to verse 14 is a very familiar story that we read over and over every Christmas. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man to whom his favor rests." Verse 25 to 35 is the part that we read before. And then let's jump to verse 48 is another story that Luke put together in chapter 2. It's about teenagers Jesus. He went up to the temple with his parents for a certain festival, and then he stayed behind and talked and discussed and learned while the parents were traveled back to hometown. And they didn't know that Jesus wasn't with them until after a day. Then they rushed back, and they were very anxious as well as upset. Now this is a conversation between them. 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus answered. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth. Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In order for us to enjoy the joy, the excitement of Christmas, God, our Heavenly Father, paid a dear price. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we thank you for the joyous season, full of excitement and expectation. Every year on December that we've gone through, we saw all these happy tunes, shopping crowd in the shopping mall. And indeed, it's a season of joy. But behind that joy, there was a dear price, pain that you pay so that we can be renewed, we can be restored. So Father, help us to understand the truth about Christmas and speak to each one of our hearts. We pray and we commit the following time in your hand. We pray in Jesus' name. The first story that Luke recorded in chapter 2 about the angel appear in a group of shepherds in the wilderness to announce the nativity. In that, if you pay attention, there was a paradox. There was a paradox in the announcement. On verse 11, the heavenly angel said, "Today in town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." He actually used three titles to describe this Christ: Savior, Christ, and Lord. And if you are familiar with the Old Testament, you know those three terms. As in Psalm, we always read, "The Lord is our Savior." So in other words, Savior is a term that we serve for God, the Almighty One, He who can and have the power to deliver His people from darkness, from sin, from all the misery. Savior, actually, is a term for the Lord, our Heavenly Father, for Jehovah. Lord, we know, when we call Him Lord, is also, for the Jew, is a term reserved only for God. And Christ actually means the Anointed One. The Anointed One in the Old Testament denotes king, priest, and prophet. Those who receive a special charge from God to carry out God's mission with God's ordination that they carry out. And Christ actually in Hebrew is Messiah. So those three terms actually pointed toward someone who are majestic, almighty, powerful, royal and noble and glorious. And yet, the second part of the news that been announced by the angel is you will find a baby wrapped in cloth lying in the manger. A baby wrapped in cloth lying in the manger. Do you know what is a baby? Baby is adorable, cute, but if you've been a parent, you know that baby is not only just adorable and cute. You have a lot of things to do for the baby. Change diaper, crying at night. You know, I still remember I hold my daughter in order to put her to sleep. I walked the room 127 times. And the moment I put her down, she said, "Wah," crying. You know, there was a lot of pain. There was a lot of price you pay for the baby, because the baby cannot survive by himself or herself. The baby is constantly dependent upon the parents or other people's care and help in order to survive. Almighty, glorious, majestic, the creator of the universe, yet took the form of a baby, born in a manger. Not born in a hotel, not born in a warm home, but born in a manger. Last year, I read a news on CNN saying that there was a news coming from London. I forgot what's the name of the hotel. Now, the hotel owner tried to write things, set the record straight for 2,000 years. Because when the king come, there was no place for the king. So on the advertisement of that special inn in London, it said, on Christmas Eve, if the parents produce ID, prove that their first name is Joseph and Mary, they can stay for free. But our Lord was born in a manger. There was no place in the inn for Him. That is a pain. That paradox of the announcement communicate to us that God went through a pain. The pain of emptying Himself so that we can enjoy salvation. Emptying Himself. In the 1930s, my grandfather went to Shanghai. He worked his way up the ladder of success, so to speak. And he was the first Cantonese to open up a bank in Shanghai. And my father was in his kindergarten ages. So my father told me that story. He said, you know, when people were so poor, I went to school with my own car because my grandfather was a banker. So my grandfather tried to raise up his kids, my father and my uncles, to be successor of his business. So my father was an accountant. He retired right now. And he worked in a bank. My mom was a bank manager before she retired. So my family run with the banker's blood. Now look at me today. But I still recall when I graduated from high school, the last year when I was in high school, I decided to choose a college away from home. And I choose a major that would surprise my parents. Do you know what did I choose as my major in college? I choose archaeology. Archaeology, and when I went to graduate school, I went to graduate school and majored in anthropology. But you know, my parents did a very unusual thing. Unlike most of the Chinese parents, that they put their hope on the kids to success what the family been doing. You know, I clearly know when I was young, my father wanted me to be good at math, good at science, and all these things, and hoping that one day my son could be, if not an accountant, maybe something that relate to that. But yet, when I make that decision, I told them, to my surprise, my parents did not say a word of objection. They did not say anything. They only said, if this is what you choose, go ahead. And to a degree, a couple years ago, when I decided to be a full-time minister, I talked to them. At that time, they were not believers yet. And my father said, if this is what you think you want to do with your life, go ahead. Same message. Brothers and sisters, because of their reaction, they earned my love and respect for the rest of my life. They actually emptying themselves. They actually not putting what the family expectation on me and allow me to have the freedom to be myself, to explore my own life. God also did the same thing. He emptied himself, all the majestic, glorious, almighty power. He set it aside and took a form of a baby. That's the first pain God went through in order to save you and me. The second pain that God went through is in today's scripture that we just read. There was a godly man named Simeon. He's expecting, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him that before you die, you will see the salvation of God. You will see Christ. And he saw it. He took baby Jesus over to his arms, and he gave this praise. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. Light and glory to his own people and to the world. This Christ is what all mankind need. He will brought forth light, illumination, revelation to all people. But yet, Simeon, in his prophecy, saying the second paradox in chapter 2, he said to Mary in verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. In this paradox, the need of all mankind, light and glory of Gentile and Israel, yet on the other hand, his own people will reject him. His own people will push him away. His own people will murder him. And that will cause tremendous pain in Mary's heart. That actually is the offensive of the message of the gospel. Today we live in a society with growing hostility toward Christian faith. We're trying to take down the Ten Commandments from the court. We're trying to make the workplace unfriendly, hostile, threatening to people who want to express their faith by putting up the Bible or the cross. Maybe one day we try to prosecute people who try to spread out the good news. Because the cross, the good news of salvation, is always offensive. Paul put it that way. The cross is so offensive. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, he said, it's the offensiveness of the cross. We still see that today, haven't we? When we spread the good news to people, like Jesus died on the cross for you, in order to save you. Sometimes people will mock us. Sometimes people say, this is ridiculous. Is there something that's so easy? That is the offensiveness of the cross. Put in an extreme illustration. Do you remember the serial killer, Ted Bundy? I saw a tape from Focus on Family that James Dobson, years ago, before the execution of Ted Bundy, the serial killer, the rapist, he went to his prison to interview him. At that time, Ted Bundy already accepted Christ and become a Christian. And then there's a lot of media attention toward that particular night. And there was a lot of criticism from the secular media, saying that this is too easy for a serial killer. It's not even enough just for him to pay for his own life. So many lives and family have been ruined by him. And at the last moment, when he decided to accept Christ, he gets salvation, he gets eternal life. What kind of good news is that? I don't want that. But my dear brothers and sisters, this is exactly the offensiveness of the cross. Because the offensiveness lies in the message that on cross, that our human effort, all the merit, all the good deeds has been wiped out. None of this can carry us far enough to approach the throne. None of this can help us to gain favor from the Creator of the universe. Only through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, die on the cross, pay for our sin, and if we receive that as a gift, we have eternal life. The message of the cross is communicating to each one of us that none of our deeds, none of our moral standard, none of our achievement can save us, only through God's grace. It is still offensive. And it is also still being rejected by a lot of people. But it's the rejection that God decided to accept in order to save us. Because in front of the cross, before the cross, the only thing we can see is our inability, our powerlessness, and there's no good things, not even a little bit, can save us. We have to depend upon Jesus Christ. The third paradox that Luke put in chapter 2 is in Jesus' conversation with his parent. Why were you searching for me, he asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But the parent did not understand what he was saying to them. Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. When Jesus answered his parent, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? He's referring to the Heavenly Father as his own father, Son of God, but yet reveal himself in Son of Man. 51, verse 51, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And actually, he was obedient to them for the next 18 years, because Jesus was, at that time, was about 12 years old. the Son of God reveal himself, actually hide himself in the Son of Man. The pain of humility that God went through so that we can enjoy salvation. He chose to take a form of the son of Joseph and Mary and be obedient to his parents to illustrate to each one of us that in order to gain favor from God, obedience is the only way. Obedience is the only way. I'd like to tell you a story. It's a true story. It happened about 213 years ago. There was a young lady grew up in Midwest and went to school in Chicago. Her name was Eleanor Chestnut. Eleanor grew up in a poor family. As a matter of fact, her family was so poor that before she went to college, she never wear any new clothes. All her clothes and jacket were people's used clothes and jackets and donated to them. She was so ashamed of herself and of her family background. But when she went to college, she met Christ and decided to follow Jesus Christ. And her walk with Christ started to grow every day. And until one day when she went to college, she decided to devote her life to serve the Lord. That she decided to be a missionary. And she went through college. She'd been trained as a physician. Also received training as a nurse. And she joined the Presbyterian Mission Board and been sent to China in 1893. She was sent to China in southern China in the province of Guangdong, Canton, in northern Canton, in a very remote and poor area. And she and a group of missionaries being charged to build a hospital for local people to heal the sick, to bring for medical care for the people in those villages. And not only even donate her own salary to buy bricks and mortar and hire local labor to build a hospital so that they can operate, they can work in the hospital. But before the hospital was built, she had to operate in her bathroom. There were so many need. And one day, there was a man sent to her house and she had to do operation, and she found out that she could not save the leg of this coolie, manual labor. Amputation has to be performed. So she amputated the leg. But complication came in that operation, infection. So this coolie, this man, needed skin grafts. Eleanor couldn't find any. But she performed the surgery anyway. And later on, the nurse found out that there's skin graft available. So the patient has been healed. But after the surgery, the other doctor noticed that Eleanor was limping. So they concerned, they asked her, "Are you okay?" And Eleanor said, "Okay, it's fine, no problem." She didn't say anything. It was until much later that the nurse that worked with Eleanor told a story. Eleanor actually used her own skin on her leg as skin graft to put on that coolie's wound. One person's pain saved another person's life. Actually, Eleanor died at the age of 37 when a mob attacked the hospital. She was one of the five martyrs for the Lord. Offered her own life for a group of people that she never met. But yet, it was the love of the Christ. It was the love of Christ deeply dwell in her heart that caused her to go through all this pain in order to save others. So my dear brothers and sisters, this Christmas, behind all this shopping excitement, the beautiful wrapping of the presents of Christmas, the joyous atmosphere, the beautiful music. You and I ought to remember there was a price that our Lord paid so that we can be joyful again. Let's bow our head and pray. As we bow our head, I invite you to take a moment of silence, to pray for yourself, to search your heart. That you can reconnect with the love from above. To fully understand the kind of love that God revealed to us through His own pain. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning we want to lift your name on high. Thank you for our own sake. You've forsaken your glory, majesty, and power, and took a form of a baby, emptying yourself, even rejected by us. And high in the form of the Son of Man in order to save us. Oh dear Jesus, help us to understand that love. That kind of sacrificial love will transform our lives, will restore us and renew each one of us. Thank you. Thank you for your love. We pray in Jesus' name.